As an employee-owned financial firm, Baird offers advice solely focused on clients' needs, while consistently investing in their expertise and capabilities to serve those in need. More information at baird-difference.com.
After 4:05, we head over to Ellettsville and join our friend Marty Hawk, who is on the phone with us this afternoon. Good afternoon, Marty. How are you?
I am fine, and I'm not sure I'm liking what you've just had to say.
Well, yeah.
Rain, and then, wow, a heat wave.
So everything that gets...
This is Indiana, after all.
That's right, and everything that gets wet is going to grow exponentially faster when temperatures are that warm, and they're that warm overnight. So all those Mother's Day flowers and gifts and plants and everything else will look outstanding. People's lawns will be great. I went out to mow my lawn before I came into the studio this afternoon, and my lawnmower made it for about 2 minutes and then died. So we all got issues, and we'll make it. So get your suntan lotion. Make sure your air condition is working. And, well, it'll be a little dreary here, but it'll be dreary, but not at all, Marty, because as I mentioned, we have a million things going on. We're going to start in chronological order by going backwards. I know that makes no sense, but neither does most of the things on this program. Yesterday was primary election day. What did we learn here in Monroe County and for the state and congressional districts?
Well, I'm telling you, this has been a ride and a half trying to see where people were really going to place their votes. We saw a lot of interest over there on the Democrat side because they had those huge races going on there for judge and for sheriff. And what I found really interesting, just studying the numbers and looking at the numbers, for instance, with the judge race for seat 7, Emily Salzman took that. Of course, we recognize that name very well. Those of us have been around Monroe County for a long time. That name is pretty familiar. But what I saw was the total of all of those votes of everybody running in that particular office was 8,813. And the undervotes was 359. That's not very many when you take it. In other words, those that didn't vote in favor of any of those. And the commissioners then, the total of the commissioners vote for using both of those numbers together on the Democrat side was 8,172. And the undervotes on that race, which have been the same people on the same ballot voting both of those, the total was 8,172 instead of the 8,813. And the undervotes on that one was 1,012. And when you start looking at the other elected officials in county government, it looked like those undervotes was over 1,000, which meant that there was more people that was voting over there on the Democrat side. I'm supposing that they were voting on the Democrat side, and they were concentrating on voting on that judgeship and also the sheriff, because that undervote on the sheriff was 327 as well. So I think that it looks like that the people who just decided, I want to vote on the judge, I want to vote for the sheriff, and I'm just not going to vote on some of these other issues. That's what the numbers say to me. Maybe somebody else will decide it's not quite the same, but I don't know how else you'd look at it.
Yeah, you can't just accidentally forget to do something, right? Not that many times.
Well, when you see that the same people getting the ballot that would, if you pull a ballot for one party or the other, and that's the only thing you've got on your side to vote on is for that party vote, and the judge vote was open to anybody throughout the
right.
county, just like the commissioner's vote was open to anybody in the county, and the recorder was open for anybody in the county, and yet on those ones that people were interested in. The undervotes were in the 300s, and the others were in the over 1,000.
Interesting.
It's like, I mean, I don't know. Somebody else may say, oh, there's another reason. So anyway, we'll find out. The really close one that
yeah, the recorder's office. My goodness,
that because off by 40 votes. 40 votes.
Would you guess there would be a recount in something like that, Marty, with it being that close? I don't know how that process works. I know you've had more experience with this than I have.
Well, I remember when I think I lost by 8 votes on that one that I lost, and I didn't opt to do a recount. Everybody thought I should have. Maybe I should have, but I just thought, oh, those 8 people had a right to vote for whoever they wanted to, and I guess I should have just got 8 more, you know, 9 people out there voting for me. I do not know on that. I do know that it's an expensive thing to do recounts, or at least
that was going to be my next question. What is that process? What does it cost, and how long will it take?
Well, and I don't have specific answers for you. I just know what the time. I thought that's not something that, you know, I'm going to expect anybody to come up with money for. So I just moved on for that. But that will be certainly up to the candidates in question. So I don't want to answer for them. But that when you're off by 40 votes, that's pretty close. But, you know, now that we have everything that is so automated, one would really like to believe that, you know, those numbers are correct. So,
sure.
Okay. So the other thing that I found interesting, and of course, I always try to look at what the real picture is, not who just won here in Monroe County. For instance, with State Representative District 62, there was a lot of interest
yeah.
in that. And, you know, front page of the newspaper showing our present commissioner, Penny Githens' picture on there, you know, like, you know. However, when you look at those total votes, the person who actually won on the Republican side, Dave Hall, and then you look at the Penny Githens who won on the Democrat side, well, then you start adding the total of all the D votes in District 62 that voted and the total R votes in District 62, because remember, it's not just Monroe County, it's Jackson County and Brown County,
sure.
too. So the total, maybe somebody's already discussed this with you. I wasn't
no.
able to listen earlier. Okay, well, the total R votes in District 62, Republican votes, was 5,082, and the total Democrat votes in District 62 was 4,240, which gave the Republican side, actually, if you thought those numbers would still hold in the fall, who would ever know? You don't know. It's a crazy election year. But that would leave the Democrat side 842 votes short. You see, so I think a lot of people would have thought whoever took Monroe County would take District 62. And that's not what these numbers are showing.
Gotcha. It's interesting to hear the interpretations. This is not my area of expertise. That's why we have County Councilwoman Marty Hawk on the program with us today. Is it just, do you think the number, the gross numbers will improve come November? Or what should I be looking at in when we come to the big election?
Well, things to consider about the difference between the primary and the general election. A lot of folks do not want to have to declare what party they're in order to vote in the primary.
Gotcha.
So they will set the primary out, whether they want to vote Republican or Democrat. Many times, especially in this political climate that we have in Hart County, that a lot of folks will just say, I'm just going to set this out. I'm not going to vote. So I don't know what the number is of the general percentage of greater votes in the general than there is in the primary. That would make a difference. The other thing is, this is, you know, and a lot of people say, oh, it's a student vote. Well, the students were real busy trying to get their finals finished up and so forth. I would not think the student vote would have been very strong in this primary.
No.
I wouldn't think so. I mean, I've worked out there in the poles before. You sit there all day and two people.
I'm still trying to figure out why we allow students to vote that don't live here. They just are passing through. I've never understood that concept.
Well, it's because it's where they evidently declare that that's where they're living. I actually think it should be,
where
their parents are taking them as a credit on, that they're supporting them and they're living
Amen.
In their home. One would think it'd be like
I don't
that.
Need, I don't, and this is not a knock on the students. I don't need transient 4-year people, 5-year people determining what's best for my community that are going to leave and go on to other places.
And vote for the city council. About the rest of us, how much of a tax we're going to have to pay. I just got to say, I think there's a whole lot of folks that's going to be concerned about that. Very soon. Within hours,
right?
Perhaps.
Trey Hollingsworth, when we'll get to the city council here in a minute, we'll get to the county commissioners, is not running for District 9 re-election. He has decided he's putting his own term limits on himself. And Erin Houchin, she took the Republican side of things in a very crowded and some big names on the Republican side for the 9th Congressional District.
Right, and of course, many of us have known Mike Sodro forever and ever and ever. And if Erin Houchin hadn't had her name on there, then a lot of us would have just automatically gone to Sodro because we know him. But Erin was very helpful in many, many ways and was very supportive of a lot of things that the Republican Party wanted. And so there were a lot of folks that were standing behind her, and I think she'll have the energy to carry that through. I think the numbers, if you look at the numbers, it certainly looks like as if she has a good chance in the general election. But I'm just kind of a numbers person. You know how I am.
Sure, absolutely. That's why we love getting your thoughts on this. And then Matt Pfeiffer, teacher at Bloomington North, will have the Democratic side of things there. Always interesting to see how that's going to play itself out. A school teacher, I don't believe, who has any other political experience. Is that correct, Marty? I don't have his background right in front of me.
Not that I know of. However, sometimes it just takes having a real desire to be involved and to be out there and to try to figure out how this works. I mean, Perry Robinson, a candidate for county commissioner, had never been involved in government before. And boy, he has been out there pushing hard, trying to get, people to listen to his issues. So sometimes the new person, it always takes that first time for somebody to get involved. You can't expect
start
always
somewhere,
to win
right?
the first time, but sometimes it's the first person out there with that much energy and good ideas that can bring people to the table. So
Very cool.
Going to be a real change. The other thing is, many of us did not have opposition in the primary, and so there wasn't as much interest on the Republican side other than with the state reps and so forth. And so a lot of folks were saying, well, I really care more. I want to get my voice heard over here about the judge, or I want my voice heard regarding the sheriff. So, and what did you think about we have a new name to the ballot this year for sheriff, and I have heard him speak. He seems like a very knowledgeable person, and Ruben Marte, if I'm pronouncing that
yes.
correctly. So it should be very interesting, because then he will be running in the general, and on the Republican side is Nathan Williamson, and his name is, of course, well-known. And he's been involved here with local law enforcement. So that will be a very interesting, and I expect it to be a very respectful race. I would be very disappointed if that wouldn't be the case. There was a great loss by some when some of the mailers went out that was not as respectful as as many of us would like. So I was delighted to spend the day over at the polling stations over near my home, and there were people there from both sides of the aisle spending the day together outside, and people were congenial and polite and
Didn't sound like many hiccups, Marty. I mean, we know the volume wasn't there, but it seemed like that Karen Wheeler and Nicole and Nicole Brown took it, everything worked great, so that's the good news as well.
Right, and boy, they had information out for everybody as quickly as they can. And by the way, for those people who really want to get down in the weeds and look at how many votes came in per precinct in all the different townships, that the election people have that now. It has been posted yet this afternoon. They had more information early was on there earlier this morning, but then they have it all broken down according to the precincts, which is something, of course, I'll be very interested to see, because after the redistricting that was done in the commissioner's district, as well as I think they left the commissioner's district just as they were, but they moved the council district places around. So that'll be interesting to see what the total vote was in the different precincts that where the precincts have changed around into the different districts. So,
well, and speaking of different,
I know sounds boring, but yeah, for those of us who like numbers,
sure,
and the numbers mean something, really.
Yeah, and speaking of districts, the new district Jeff Ellington moved into tried to pick up a House seat there. Left District 62, and then moved to Bloomfield, and then that's District 45. Do I have my numbers right there?
I don't remember the name, but he did not make it. And I was, and you know, perhaps
yes, District
45 in 62, he would have been just fine, because it looks as if that's going to be the case. But you know, people make choices. And family choices as well, because they did have that property down there that they're happily redoing, and they sound excited to be in that area. So kudos to them for just always stepping out and taking the chance and moving forward with, as Hope says, whatever God's plan is for them. So
now, Marty,
I wish
when is
them well?
And absolutely. And when does the ballot get officially completed? Is that July? Is that August? Is it we've got to fill these holes in and make sure everything's put together? So, how long does that process take?
You know, I think they have. If you mean to go ahead and fill up some slots, that's
left
yes, they're empty. I think they have until July 1.
Okay.
But that, I don't have that number, but I know they have some time yet, both parties, to fill a slot. Now, they can't, you know, you can't just say, well, I was running for this office and I didn't make it, so now I want to be, you know, run for
right,
this office. You can't do that. But if you're you know, meet all the other qualifications and guidelines, and you wish to serve, and you think you can really make a difference here, then get involved. Find out if that's something that you think you would like to do. Do some research, see what it is of the spot that you're hoping to gain, to be a part of making a difference. Study it a little bit, and if you believe that's a spot for you that you should do well, then contact the party chairman or whatever to see, because remember, you can't just run for that now. You have to be put on that spot, and the party chairman would advise how to go about doing that. In other words, you can't just say, well, now I think I'll run. No, if you were going to put your name on the ballot and do it freely on your own, then your time for doing that has passed. Now it will be up to the parties to determine if they're going to fill those slots.
Gotcha. So we'll keep an eye. That's not something that's going to happen in the next 10 days. That will help it happen over the rest of this month and next month. So that's where we are there. Marty Hawk is the county councilwoman. She is our guest. What's the city council going to do tonight, Marty? Do you believe they will vote on the local income tax? What do your inside scoops tell you?
Well, I asked some people saying yes, indeed they probably will go ahead and do it this evening. The reason why I thought maybe they wouldn't is that we have three Democrat county council members who are going to have a sort of a meet and greet listening thing on Saturday. So I'm wondering, are they going to present something else, or who knows?
Where is that going to be, or where did you see that?
I saw it. It was going to be at the library. I wasn't really prepared to announce that because it's not my announcement to make, but I saw that it was Saturday afternoon, and there's a whole lot of people with other things to do on a Saturday afternoon, so it made me wonder exactly if maybe they had a particular reason, and of course they didn't contact me about that, so I wouldn't know. But at any rate, there's been some discussion about, maybe this would be better. I think I've saw it on one of the Facebook pages or whatever. If they would just go ahead and do this tax, but put it over in certified shares, that way everybody, library and townships, et cetera, would get more money. I think some information was going out from the auditor's office to one of the townships saying, here's how much more you would get if they put it in certified shares. And then somebody asked me about it, and I said, look, I don't want them to do it. I don't care what bucket they put it in, because it's clear there is money there for that law enforcement increase in salaries to get them through this year. I mean, it's clear. We've got the report of seeing how much additional money is sitting there in reserves for Central Dispatch, far more than the 4 months that they need to keep in reserves. So therefore, you could reduce that rate going into PSAP and use that difference and put it down in public safety without raising the tax, and allow that those dollars to be used for law enforcement salaries. And for they could do that. However, the legislation makes it real clear the city executive, that's the mayor, is the one who proposes and says this is what the salaries are supposed to be, or what he wants them to be for law enforcement and for fire protection. Now, the city council does not have to agree to that. If the mayor says, I'm now going to want to reduce it to X, Y, or Z, I do not believe the city council has the authority to go above that amount.
I don't think so, yeah.
They could take it below the amount, but not above the amount. However, they could use other methods to make sure that the squeeze was put on the mayor to make him come around to what it is that they wish they would have happen. That's up to all of those folks to work out. I'm not involved in it. I know what the numbers are, but if whatever they work out, what I can say is the people that are paying attention in the city and out of the city do not want this huge tax put on them. Not now, not when it's every time they go to the grocery store, every time they put gas in their car, or their lawnmower breaks.
Hey,
and they've got
to figure out
how much it's going to cost to repair or replace, or what it costs to get new windows put in if you have really old windows, or even getting lawn help, how much everything increases, everything you do, and why we would do this right now when it is very clear that we're hiring all these new people at Catalan, making a lot more money, and that extra money in income tax will be flowing into the city as well as into the other areas of the county, as long as those people live here in Monroe County. So this is not something that is a stagnant amount. I think that they could, if they would, be willing to work and make sure this doesn't happen this year, because they don't have to vote for this increase. And they simply don't have to do that. They can, and they have the ability to. If they get 8 of the 9 votes, it's just done. And it will matter not what the people over here, the entire west side of the county, no matter what they think, they will have to pay that tax because the city, if the city votes to put it in place. Now, if they only get 7 votes and they come over and it comes up to the county council to have to vote on it too, then it's going to take 2 county council members to say, I'm going to vote with the city.
Yeah, and that's called accountability. That's exactly right.
But that does not mean that it's a majority of the council or anything. It just means they're choosing the city if they choose to do that. Or it could be one county council member and one else a town board member, and we will all have to pay it. I'm hoping they're all listening to folks. Maybe the people who are talking to me are not talking with them, but I'm hoping that everybody is listening because my phone is, I'm surprised it's not going off right here while we're trying to talk.
Well, Marty, I appreciate the time, and I know you're busy with your phone calls, and we are happy that you can squeeze us in every Wednesday, and we'll see what next Wednesday brings. Have a fantastic Mother's Day weekend. Watch out there, kids. Cinco de Mayo, graduation weekend. Bloomington and Monroe County will be hopping with guests and folks. And then we'll welcome the 90s to town next week. How about that? What a time here in May, just getting started.